What's going on, PP? Your boy, man, Mike here, coming at you guys with a draft recap. If you had the opportunity to check us out on AFN, the Heavy Hitters, Mad Mike Sports, we truly appreciate you guys for yet another successful year of draft coverage from Atlanta Falcon Nation. I'm going to kind of give my recap on this past weekend's draft, and it's going to be as quickly as possible. Overall, I can't and I do not like giving a draft where guys have yet to play, so I'll just try to make it quick as possible. As far as my greatest concern with the Atlanta Falcons, I would have to say a B minus. And that's just predicated off just right off the bat and, you know, addressing needs. And obviously the first pick of the draft with Michael Penix Jr., a lot of people still up in arms. Some people are for it, others are not. Others are questionable. Like, people have no opinion on that particular draft pick. A guy like Colin Kelleher actually likes it, and that's something that's unique in itself, because he never likes anything what the Atlanta Falcons have done at the quarterback position, especially Matt Ryan, his offense, and the history of the Atlanta Falcons. You know, as far as their how they have addressed the offseason moves and, you know, the quarterback position under Matt Ryan, Thomas Dimitrov, and all those guys. With that being said, I'm just get straight to it, man. Michael Penix Jr., if you just look at this pick for the short term doesn't make a lot of sense. Doesn't make a lot of sense if you're just looking at him, if he's going to have the immediate impact. Will he have the immediate impact of being the starter immediately? Chances are you will not see Michael Penix. Why? Because, and which was one of my major issues, is that you signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million, about $100 million of that 180 is guaranteed. The third year, I think the Falcons will owe him, going into that third year, to owe him an extra $10 million or so. So when you look at this particular move in the short term, there's a lot of question marks, all right? With that being said, even with the short term, there's still a possibility that something could happen to Kirk Cousins. And I think this is why the Atlanta Falcons went ahead and made that decision, because one, Arthur Blank won a succession plan for Kirk Cousins to, you know, where he can be comfortable on if something happens, if Kirk decides, all right, he's calling a career and saying, you know, he's done. Well, you have a good quarterback, a guy that's capable of stepping in the pocket, staying in the pocket, delivering the throws. There's some question marks as far as his injury is concerned. So when you look at Michael Penix, yeah, there's a lot of question marks, but just look at him in his entirety. The Falcons, you know, they have a guy in the short term and a guy in the long term. So was it the right pick for the Atlanta Falcons? I don't know. Was it the smart pick for the Atlanta Falcons to take Michael Penix? Yes. Why? Because a lot of teams were trying to get Michael Penix. With that 8 pick, they were trying to trade up to get Michael Penix. And I believe that the Falcons knew exactly the market and, you know, the temperature as far as the NFL is concerned, and, you know, drafting him. So the Falcons like, look, we don't have a guy for the long term, and we're going to go get Michael Penix. And like I said before, when you look at everything in its entirety, my biggest issue, all right, and I want to make this clear yet again, Atlanta Falcons fans, NFL fans, it wasn't Michael Penix. It was if the Atlanta Falcons knew for sure that Michael Penix was one of their guys, why in the bloody hell would you decide to pay Kirk Cousins $180 million overall. All right, but again, that's about $90 million guaranteed. And that is the issue. Why pay so much money to a quarterback that is ultimately going to be the bridge quarterback to Michael Penix? Now, a lot of people are bringing up the fact that Michael Penix is a quarterback. He'll turn 24 this year. He's 23 at the moment, but 24. Will he be too old? About, you know, around time the Atlanta Falcons decide they, you know, they want to give him the keys to the team. That's another issue in itself. I don't think it'd be a problem in regards to his age. I know a lot of people looking at injuries, two torn ACLs. Personally, I do not believe that. Looking at Michael Penix, the type of quarterback and the type of system that the Falcons run, I don't think it'll be much of a problem. Why? Because Michael Penix, as a quarterback, to understand that he wants, that he needs to stay in the pocket. And for the most part, in Washington, they wanted him to stay in the pocket, not move. And he can deliver the pass. He can maneuver in the pocket. You can call some, you know, some design plays to have him move, rollouts, to kind of have him move in the sprints. You can call some things to kind of get him out of the pocket and get him away from the pocket. So Michael Penix isn't solely a guy that you would label a, you know, mobile quarterback, although he runs about a 4.4, so he definitely has that speed. But you wouldn't label him a mobile quarterback. Why? Because he likes to stand in the pocket and deliver on the ball. And for the most part, this is why I think, you know, as far as his injury is concerned, it may not be as big of a problem. Most fans and most analysts think it is. So that being said, that first pick with Michael Penix, I think it was a B. And I'm just going to give it a B right now because of the long-term effect. Short-term effect, long-term to short-term, that's a huge question mark right there. So it's strictly dependent on whether or not Kirk Cousins can and will be that guy the Atlanta Falcons brought him in to be. We will see about that. But like I said, I'm going to give Michael Penix a B, the second-round pick with Rook Orororo. I like this pick because it gives you another guy who has the balance. He's a balanced defensive tackle. He's a guy that's very good in the run defense. In Clemson, they had him playing not only a little bit of four, a little bit of three. The dude can play outside as a bookend and a 3-4 system. Pretty good at getting up the field and getting after the quarterback. So he's a balanced defensive tackle that the Falcons traded up to get. And from the 43rd position, a lot of people didn't like that. But I like Rook, man. He was a guy that I kind of was looking at from the beginning. And I like what, you know, he's very aggressive. And like I said, man, this guy, I think it was 53 pressures from that defensive tackle position. I think that's fourth since 2022 amongst ACC defensive tackles. So this guy can get after the quarterback and move the quarterback out off the spot, which is always a good thing in the NFL, is moving the quarterback off the spot. No wasted movement when he, you know, decide to get after the quarterback. He has a plan. He looks, he sees, he get after. And that's the one of the best traits for me personally, what I look at on defensive linemen, is their wasted movement. And Rook is a guy that definitely doesn't waste time. He sees it, he gets after the quarterback. So I like that. With the Atlanta Falcons, I give that a B plus with Rook Orororo. Braylon Trice is the interesting guy. With guys like Caden Ellis potentially being gone from the Atlanta Falcons, guys like D'Angelo Malone, you have Bud Dupree, who is a free agent right now. Braylon Trice is a guy that's going to sit behind on Ebikidi, in my opinion, to be that outside linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons. If you look at Breland Trice, I think he had 81 quarterback pressures. That's above a guy like Latu, who ironically went in the first round. The Falcons tried to get back into the first round. Breland Trice was their second guy in line. And like I said, man, Breland Trice, as a guy, you look at him and, you know, very smooth, very deliberate in him getting after the quarterback. Another one of those guys where I say where no wasted movement. He sees, he get after, not a lot of spinning, not a lot of unnecessary footwork and foot movement. Breland Trice sees, he attacks the target. And that's what I like in my defensive line. So Breland Trice, in my opinion, I give that an A+. I just like what he can bring on the outside as a pass rusher. Going to take him a little bit more time to kind of get acclimated to the NFL, so I don't see him having a lot of playing time unless he just becomes one of those guys in training camp and it translates a lot faster. But I do like Breland Trice. I'm just give it an A+. Brandon Dorlus is another one of those guys that the Falcons actually sought after. He's another one guy that's long. He is athletic. The ability to play with anchoring, shedding blocks with his length. And, you know, just look at the guy that they brought in. One of the things that they said about Brandon Dorlus is that he exemplifies exactly what they're looking for in the defensive lineman, which is length, shedding blocks, and ability to make the tackles. And the interesting thing about that is Raheem stated that he did a study with former linebacker coach who's with the Jets right now, that those guys did a study with and it came out with the defensive players that typically are sheer tacklers, a lot of those guys have long arms. So take that with a grain of salt, but this is what they came away with. Guys with particularly long arms, these guys are better at tackling. These guys are better at shedding blocks, which is what the Atlanta Falcons covered as far as their defensive players are concerned. So I like Brandon Dorlus. I'm gonna give that a B at this moment. Linebacker JD Bertrand, he's another one of those guys that trained by Barry Rood, another player that I believe that he coached when he was with Tampa Bay. So Barry Rood is a JD Bertrand, another one of those guys, length. He's not as explosive as an athlete as Trey Anderson, but he's another one of those guys with the length. I think he had 76 tackles last year with Notre Dame. Very good. I think it was like 14 or 15 tackles for losses. So this guy is pretty good at getting in the backfield, making the sheer tackle on tackles. You can move him around. He's that quintessential 3-4 linebacker that the Falcons are going to play and be a part of. Use a lot of stunts, use a lot of blitzes. And JD Bertrand, in my opinion, very good, solid pick for the Atlanta Falcons with that linebacker position. Jace McClellan, running back out of Alabama. I love this pick. I think when you look at what Zach Robinson is trying to do with his running backs, he likes these short, stocky running backs that have the ability to run with patience. And this is what I like most about Jace. He's a patient runner. He's deliberate in every movement. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Definitely a Zach Robinson pick. And he's one of those guys. You look at Tyler Allgeier has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Bijan Robinson has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he's probably one of the most explosive guys in the NFL. And then you have Jace McClellan. He has that ability as well. So what I like most about Jace is the patience. He reminds me of, he's more quick than he is fast. like a guy that we formed, we had in Devontae Freeman. Again, he's a lot more patient. He's a lot more deliberate. He is more quick than he is fast. But this guy can catch the ball out of the backfield, and Jace McClellan. So I love what I see with Jace McClellan. I like that pick with the Atlanta Falcons. And Casey Washington is another one of those guys. He is one of the guys you can play in the inside. I think if he bodes well for the Atlanta Falcons, if he is exactly what I'm thinking that he may be, a lot of people probably comparing him to Puka Nacua with the Rams. I think he is that. He may not be as tough as Nacua, but we'll see about that. I do like Casey. He's one of those guys. He knows how to protect his body well as a receiver. And for me personally, that's always a good thing. Run after the catch type of guy. He's very deliberate in his route running. He's very clean with his route running. And I think he has the potential to be a draft steal as far as the wide receiver position is concerned in the NFL. Love the way he competes. So Casey Washington, watch out for him. And the last one is Zion Logue with the University of Georgia. So yes, Falcons fans, we did draft a guy from Georgia. But Zion Logue, 6'6", 315 pounds. I think he'll probably play at that weight. But the best thing that I see about Zion Logue is that he's that guy in the middle. He's going to be, in my opinion, the insurance policy for a guy like Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman, Atlanta Falcons signed him after he retired twice he retired twice last couple of years due to mental health issues. So hopefully he's back. The Falcons did see him at practice. So depending on what happened to Eddie Goldman, I believe Zion Logue is going to be the insurance policy for him. This dude is a run stopper. When I tell you, when you look at him, it's very seldom do you see Zion Logue being push back, move to the side. He definitely anchors well. Offensive linemen rarely, and I mean rarely, take this guy and pushes him back. And, you know, he rarely gets thrown back. But like I said, this is the NFL. Technique is everything. And if they can get him to work on his technique even more to go with that 6'6 frame, 315-20 frame, I think Zion Logue would be a pretty good pick for the Atlanta Falcons. So Atlanta Falcons fan, let me know what you guys think about this. Where do you draft rank this Atlanta Falcons draft with Michael Penix Jr., Rook Arororo, Braylon Trice? He was a teammate with Michael Penix, Brandon Orlis of Oregon, J.D. Bertrand, Jace McClellan, Casey Washington, Zion Logue from the University of Georgia. Where do you guys rank this particular draft? Again, this has been your boy, Mad Mike, man. I would love to see what you guys think about this. And like I said, man, if you guys have not already, you can check us out at Mad Mike Sports, Atlanta Falcons Nation, with the Regulators. We have a Sunday morning show, 11 o'clock, hosted by Magnus, Coach Unchained, Big Ant, Big Will, Knight Rider on the track, and congratulations to my brother Knight Rider for winning Producer of the Year 2 years in a row. Miss Maggie T, who heads Atlanta Falcons Nation, Six Man K Style. Shout out to the whole crew and all the people that joined us over the weekend. Noah, Trey, all the Ladybirds of AFN, Whitney, Asia, Miss Pam, all of you guys, I appreciate it. Like I said before, everybody who joining us for 20 hours of draft coverage right here from the Atlanta Falcons Nation crew. Again, if you guys appreciate what we do, hit that like button. All right, hit that like button. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and hit all to get all of the notification, because sometimes if you do not hit that subscribe button and hit all notifications, you will miss quite a few of our live updates, because sometimes YouTube do not send all of the notifications when we go live. So make sure you hit all when you subscribe, hit that subscribe button. So with that being said, this has been your boy Mad Mike with another episode here, a breakdown of the draft. Again, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. I'm out of here, man.
Night Ride on the track.